Good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? You are listening to the Early Rises podcast. I'm your host, Skylar Deem. And if you don't know who I am an early riser. So what is an early riser? No, it's not necessarily waking up at 4 a.m. every single day. To me, being an early riser is about waking up earlier than you have to in order to get some form of uninterrupted personal development every morning. So if you have to wake up at 10 a.m., but you decide to wake up at 9 and perform some sort of a morning routine that pushes you to get better, you're an early riser. So my goal with doing this podcast is to convert you to an early riser if you aren't one already. So today's show is pretty exciting. I've got some great tips that are really going to help you get better sleep. So the topic for today is 11 ways to get better sleep. Now, before I go any further, I think it's necessary to mention that a ton of this information came from a guy named Sean Stevenson. Sean is the absolute man. He's a best-selling author. He wrote a book called Sleep Smarter, which goes into some of these tips, goes into some other ones, and explores some more of that. He also has an awesome podcast called The Model Health Show. So all this credit goes out to my man, Sean Stevenson. If you're looking to learn more about him, I will include some of that in the show notes. So sleep is something as humans that we do, hopefully every single night. Sleep is the time for our body to rest up, to repair, to recover, to restore, and get ready mentally and physically for that next day. Now, unfortunately, due to our culture and due to a lot of the habits that we have, a lot of us aren't sleeping right. You may be getting 8 hours of sleep a night, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're getting that high quality sleep. So how sleep works is throughout the night, you go through these sleep cycles that are on average 90 minutes. And in that sleep cycle, you go through four different stages. So you go through non-REM sleep, stages 1, 2, and 3, and then you go into your REM sleep, which is that rapid eye movement. That's where you're dreaming. So what's important to know for this show and just to understand is that stages 1 and 2 are on the lighter side of sleep. That's your body's not really doing much in that period. But once you enter that stage 3 deep sleep, that's where your body really starts to repair and restore itself. So if you're going throughout the night and you're waking up or you're getting interrupted or you're not going into that deep stage 3 sleep, you're going to be exhausted in the morning. You're going to start to develop health issues. And there's really just going to be a lot of problems that you can avoid. So why is sleep important? So sleep puts your body in that mode to repair and restore itself. It puts your body in an anabolic state. This means that your body is rebuilding rather than breaking down. Sleep also leaves you rested, as I'm sure people have known from missing a night of sleep or getting a poor night's quality sleep. When you wake up, you don't feel good. You feel groggy. You feel grumpy, which brings me to my next point. Sleep increases your mood. Sleep also boosts your metabolism and increases the amount of brown adipose tissue in your body. And basically, when your body has more brown fat, your body's going to burn more fat in general. So sleeping is really going to boost your metabolism, increase that brown fat. Sleep also increases your energy. It regulates your circadian rhythm. It increases your memory. Sleep does all these amazing things. Now, I want to mention a study that was done on rats. So the scientists took these rats and they sleep deprived them. And these rats showed inferior healing capabilities because their body had fewer white blood cells, so they weren't able to fight off these infections. They developed skin lesions, and they lost body mass as well. Now, before you get any ideas if you're trying to lose weight about cutting back on sleep, when you're losing that body mass, it's really the good stuff. It's the bone, it's the tissue, it's the important stuff of your body. So really, sleep is super important. You could be busting your ass in the gym, you could be busting your ass with your nutrition, but if you're not getting high quality sleep, you're not going to see gains, you're not going to see a loss of weight, you're not going to see an increased muscle build. Whatever your goal is, you're not going to see that if you're not getting this high quality sleep. So sleep is extremely important. Shouldn't have to go into this more. It's just good to understand the background about that. So with all that being said, I think it's time to dive into the show today. So let's talk about the 11 ways to get better sleep. Now, before we actually go into these 11 ways, I think it's necessary to say that you don't have to be doing all of these things. There's a lot of them that are crucial and that you should be doing, but when it comes down to it, it's up to you to pick and choose what works best for you. So, tip number one to get better sleep is to get more sunlight. Now, sunlight is basically magic. Sunlight is something that all of us as humans need more of, especially in today's culture where we're spending most of our time inside. But sunlight does a lot of stuff. First of all, it regulates your circadian rhythm. So that internal body clock, that's going to help you sleep better. It also blesses your body with vitamin D. So vitamin D improves your immune system, decreases fatigue, increases bone density, decreases depression and anxiety, increases healing abilities, and really just has a ton of these awesome benefits. Now, unfortunately, vitamin D is something that a lot of people today are deficient in. So getting that sunlight, getting more of that vitamin D is really going to have, one, all these health benefits, but two, it's going to help you get better sleep. Getting more sunlight is also going to increase your energy and happiness. And again, it's just going to have a ton of these awesome benefits. Now, your body is most responsive to sunlight between 6 and 8:30 in the morning. So if you can, the best way that you can apply this to your life is to get outside around that time. Take a walk around the block, just get out in your backyard, open a window and stick your head out. Just do what you got to do in order to get that sunlight. I think it's also important to note that if you're getting the sunlight through a window, you're really not going to get these effects. The glass actually filters out the vitamin D and all the other beneficial parts of the sunlight. So it's best to just get some sun, get out there. So tip number one is to get more sunlight. Tip number two is crucial. Tip number two is something that also I'm very passionate about, and that is to avoid electronics before you go to bed. Now, the goal is 90 minutes, but unfortunately, a lot of people have these phone addictions, and a lot of people struggle with being able to put their phone down and do something else before they wind down. You know, before I found out about this, the last thing I was doing before bed was scrolling through my phone, and I would put it down, and I would go right to sleep. And although you may be able to fall asleep right after you put that phone down, the blue light in the phone suppresses your melatonin. So melatonin is that hormone that helps us sleep. And the blue light is a spectrum of light that all electronics emit. And if you're getting that in your eyes, basically your body thinks it's still daytime. So it's going to suppress your melatonin for another 3 hours, up to 3 hours. And if you're sleeping, you're really not going to get into that deep stage three sleep that we need. So my advice. Now, I'd say start small. If the last thing you do during the night is check your phone, start with 15 minutes without it. Then slowly move it up, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, until you get to 90 minutes. Now, the struggle that a lot of people have is that they're lost without their phone or their Netflix or some type of screen in front of them. So what do you do instead of being on your phone? So I'm going to give you a couple examples, a couple tips that you could utilize. So you could journal. Journaling has been proven to help you fall asleep faster. It's a great way to just get your thoughts on a piece of paper, keep track of stuff. You could plan your task list for the next day. You could talk to someone in your house, look at a real human being and have a real conversation with your roommate, your parents, your loved ones, just someone in your house, just be able to talk to them. You could do a puzzle. You could meditate. And this last one is my personal favorite. You could read. Start reading again. You know, a lot of people today give that up, but books are really an amazing thing. They contain a ton of awesome stuff, and if you haven't been reading, I'd recommend starting up. Now, I have heard people say that you should stick to fiction, but, you know, I like to read my personal development books at night. So the argument there for fiction is if you're reading these nonfiction books that they're really going to start to make you think and they're going to start to make your mind wander. And then when you put the book down, you're going to have a harder time shutting your mind off and going to sleep. Personally, I don't have an issue with this. I'm fine with it. But if you're someone who has a hard time turning your mind off, maybe you do want to stick to fiction. I can actually leave a list for you in the show notes of one, things you can do. And two, I'll leave a little list of the books I've been reading just in case you want any recommendations. So you can find those in the show notes, which are at earlyrisersmovement.com/podcast/3. So you can go there and you can find everything else I'll talk about in the show today, and you can check out all the resources and everything that I put there. So say worst case scenario, you are completely addicted to your phone, or you're forced to be on your phone right before you go to bed somehow. Maybe you have to work late, something. What is the better option? Well, obviously best case scenario is get rid of it completely. But if you cannot, I have a couple tips for you. So first, if you have a Mac, you can download an app called Flux. It's F.LUX. Again, that'll be in the show notes. And basically what this does is based on your time zone, when it starts to get darker out, it's going to filter out that blue light from your computer or your laptop screen. So you're really not going to be receiving that bad blue light that's preventing your melatonin from being produced. If you have a PC, I think Flux might be out there for that. If not, I'm sure there's other applications. If you have an iPhone that you want to look at, you can actually go to your control center, press and hold on the brightness button, and there's something called night shift, which does the same thing. It filters out the blue light. And then if you have an Android or some other phone, I'm sure there's something on there that does the same thing. Another thing that's important to note is talking on the phone. So your delta brainwaves are actually responsible for your deep sleep. And what happens when you talk on the phone, you put that right up to your ear, is your delta brainwaves are suppressed for an hour after the phone call. So try not to talk on the phone either for those last 90 minutes. And again, worst case scenario, say you have to, throw your phone on speaker, keep it a little farther away from your head. So moral of tip number two, which is avoid electronics. The goal is 90 minutes before you go to bed. The moral of that is best case scenario, get rid of them. Worst case scenario, try to filter out the blue light. So moving on to tip number three. Tip number three is to cut out caffeine by 2 p.m. Now, I know some of my coffee drinkers out there had a mini heart attack when I said that, but hear me out for a second. So caffeine works by blocking something that your body produces called adenosine. So while you're going throughout your day, your body's producing this adenosine, and it's binding to these receptors in your brain. And once these receptors are full and once they start to build up, you start to get more and more tired. And when you're asleep, it's your body's time to kind of clear out this adenosine. So what caffeine does is it's actually a similar shape to adenosine, so it binds to these receptors and blocks that adenosine from being received by your brain. So you're going throughout the day, you should be getting tired, but because that caffeine is there, you don't. So caffeine is a very cool tool. It's very important to utilize if you need it. But it can easily be abused, and it's tough. So caffeine has a half-life of 5 to 8 hours. Now, what do I mean by half-life? So 5 to 8 hours after it's consumed, half of the dosage is still in your system. So say you have a half-life of 5 hours, say you're on the shorter end, and you have 100 milligrams of caffeine around 10 a.m. So 3 p.m., your body will still have 50 milligrams of that caffeine in you. 8 p.m., you're still going to have 25 of that caffeine in you. Now, you can hopefully see how constantly drinking caffeine every day can really prevent it from fully leaving your system. So first of all, it's nice to take breaks, just entire days where you're not drinking coffee. If possible, try to cut back, maybe switch to tea or something. If not possible, just cut it out by 2 p.m. And unfortunately, if you're a smoker or you're pregnant, your half-life is going to be a lot more. So it could be up to 15 hours if you're one of those things. So you might want to avoid it altogether. And again, let's be realistic here. How do you utilize this in your life? If you're going to cut back on caffeine, if you're addicted, start slow. Start switching to tea. Start downing your dosage. And slowly just try to cut it out. So tip number three is to cut back on caffeine by 2 p.m. Tip number four is a longer one. Tip number four we're going to cover a lot. And that is being your room conditions. So there's a couple things that are important to note. First of all, the temperature in your room. Now, the ideal temperature for your body to really go into that deep sleep is from 60 to 68 degrees. So it's a little colder. But if your room is around that temperature, your body's going to cool down and it's going to allow you to first fall asleep faster and second, enter that deeper sleep easier. Now, say you have a hot room for some reason, say you can't do that. There's something out there called a chili pad, which will actually regulate the temperature of your mattress. You put that down, say you have a spouse, you can leave it on your side, you can spread it out, and it regulates that temperature and keeps it between whatever you denote, so between that 60 to 68 degrees. Now, a link to that will be in the show notes. It's a little expensive, I think it's a couple hundred dollars, but if it's an investment you're willing to make, completely, totally go for it. Not only that, but I think it's also cool to note that if your room is a little warmer, your body's going to have a harder time going into your REM sleep. So a lot of these people out there find that they haven't been dreaming for a while. It could be because you're sleeping in a warm room. So maybe try to turn it down and see if that affects it. Moving on to the second part of room conditions, we're going to talk about making your bed a sanctuary. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean your bed should be used for 2, maybe 3 things. First of all, sleep. Second of all, sex. And maybe reading. So the whole point of this is allowing your body and your mind to associate your bed with sleep. So if you're spending your time in your room and you're laying down in your bed on your laptop, on the phone, drawing, doing whatever you're doing in the bed, your mind's really not going to associate that with sleep. So maybe you lay down in bed at night and your mind doesn't really realize that it's time to drift off. So you're going to have a harder time falling asleep. So by associating your bed just with these things, it's really going to help. Now, I said maybe reading because, again, there's always asterisks, there's always exceptions. I have no problem reading in bed and then falling asleep immediately after. But if you already struggle with falling asleep, maybe it's time to start that association fresh. Maybe it's time to just keep it to sleep and sex. All right, so the third part of room conditions, we're going to talk about air quality. Now, there's a study done of a little over 1,800 people, and what they found was that those who were exposed to higher pollution levels in the air had a 60% chance of sleeping for 88% or less of their time in bed. So basically, from the time they laid down getting ready to sleep and they woke up in the morning, they had a 60% chance of being asleep for 88% or less of their time in bed. So it's important to really make sure that your air quality is good in your room. So how do you do this? I'm going to give you three tips. First one, window. If your temperature outside isn't bad, open a window, get some fresh air, really clear that out. So say it's super hot out or super cold out and you can't open a window or you don't want to. The next two options are one, get some air purifying plants in your room. Now I'll put a list of these in the show notes. A recommendation is the Boston Fern. That does a great job at purifying the air. But if you're looking for something else, again, check the show notes. There will be a list there. And then the third option for that is to buy a Himalayan salt lamp. So again, this is another thing that just does a good job at grabbing those ions in the air and just purifying them. So the third part of that is to clear your air. And the fourth and final part of room conditions is to black out your room. So just black it out completely. There's a study done at Reuters Health, and they found that being exposed to light during sleep increased your time in stage 1 non-REM sleep and decreased your time in stages 2 and 3. So if your light is on, if you have a nightlight, if you have neighbors who are shining their porch light into your room, if you have any sort of light, this could affect your sleep quality. And again, you may be able to fall asleep, but unfortunately, this is affecting the depth and the quality of sleep that you have. Something else that's worth mentioning is a study that was done in 1998, which showed that a light shined on the back of someone's knee also affected sleep quality. So even if you can't see this light, even if your head's covered or you're wearing a sleep mask, but the light is still there, it's still going to affect your sleep quality. So my best advice would be to black out your room by getting some blackout curtains, keeping them shut, and just being able to nod off in darkness. Now, another thing that's worth mentioning, say you live in a rural area and the only light that you have is moonlight. Moonlight's not an issue. This is something that's natural. When your body gets that moonlight, it's fine. So you only really need these blackout curtains or any sort of curtains at all if you're having light shined in from your neighbors. So tip number four is just optimizing the effectiveness of your room conditions. So let's move on to tip number five. Tip number five is to be asleep by 10 p.m. This one's a good one. So from the hours of 10 to 2, your body optimizes the hormones that it produces to help you get the best possible quality of sleep. Now, obviously, you don't only want to be sleeping from 10 to 2. You don't only want to sleep 4 hours a night. But during that window, that's really that sweet spot. That's where you want to be asleep in order to get that really deep sleep. There have been studies that have shown that earlier sleep has a ton of these physical, mental, and emotional health benefits too. So getting to bed earlier is a great thing. Now, I think there's something cool that I also want to mention called the second wind. So the hormones that your body produces around this time, if you're asleep, it's really going to help you get to that deep reparative sleep. But if you're awake, it's going to give you something called the second wind, which is this burst of energy. So if you've ever been traveling home after a long day or getting ready to go to bed and you're exhausted, and then once you lay down in bed and you're ready to fall asleep, you wake up and you're just ready to jump out of bed with energy. This is the second wind. So this can actually prevent you from falling asleep at that point. So it's really important. Try to get to bed at 10 p.m. Unfortunately, with our culture, 10 p.m. sounds insanely early. But if it's possible, do it. So tip number five is to be asleep from the hours of 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Tip number six has to do with what you wear to bed. It's about your clothing. So I'm going to give you the option to wear one of two things. First of all, wear some loose clothing. Second of all, don't wear anything at all. Now, there's a few things that goes into this. First of all, if you are going to wear pajamas, Only put them on when you're ready to start your nighttime routine. If you're hanging out in your house, again, it's back to this association. Your brain isn't going to associate the clothing that you're wearing with you being ready to fall asleep. So really don't wear that stuff around the house during the day. When you wake up, change out of it, and only put it on when you're starting to wind down. Now, why do I say loose clothing or nothing? So wearing tighter clothing to bed can actually constrict your blood flow in your body, which is going to hurt your circulation levels. And also, it's going to put a lot of pressure on your lymphatic system. So your lymphatic system is responsible for flushing out and fighting toxins in your body. And if it's affected by this tight clothing, you may not be able to process these toxins. You may find yourself lacking energy. You may find yourself getting sick. There's really going to be all these negative side effects that you're going to have. So wearing loose clothing is going to help your blood flow. It's going to help your lymphatic system. And another plus, it's going to keep your body temperature lower. So if we go back to one of the previous tips, right between that 60 to 68 degrees room temperature, it's going to keep your body level lower if you're wearing this loose clothing. Tip number 6 is to optimize the clothing that you wear to bed. All right, guys and girls, so this is the first episode that's running a little bit longer, so I wanted to kind of break it up and give you an opportunity to connect with me. So before I go any further, again, if you want to check out the show notes, do so at earlyrisersmovement.com/podcast/3. And I have a question for you that I would love if you could answer. And if I like your answer or I think it's necessary to say, it'll probably be featured on one of the future shows. So today's question is, if you had the opportunity to never sleep again, so you would never have to sleep, but you were no longer able to dream, so you would never have a dream ever again. I'm talking about a literal dream, not just a vision that you have, but a dream. Would you give up sleep if it meant giving up dreaming? Reach out to me wherever you can find me, on our contact page, on our website. Hit me up on Instagram at Early Risers Movement. I want to hear what you have to say. But without further ado, let's get back into the show. All right, tip number 7, one of my personal favorites, one of the most in-depth, extreme tips I could ever give. Fix your gut. Fix your nutrition, fix your gut. So this is where it gets serious. Now, this is one of the biggest issues that I see with people, is they don't have that healthy diet. So nutrition is so complex, and there's no way I can get into it in this podcast. There's no way I could probably get into it in 100 podcasts. But I want to try to make it as simple as possible in a short amount of time. So the first thing is, 95% of your serotonin is located in your gastrointestinal tract. So serotonin is that happy hormone. People who have depression really don't have that much serotonin in their body. So if you have a messed up gut, the serotonin isn't going to be produced. Now, let me just kind of explain how your stomach works. So in your stomach, there are billions and billions, and some people even think trillions of bacteria. There's some good bacteria, there's some bad bacteria. What this bacteria does is it helps you with your digestion, or it hurts your body. So depending on what you eat, your gut bacteria can thrive or it can be wiped out. You know, more and more every day, our society is learning about the importance of having a healthy gut, and we're linking all these sicknesses and illnesses and mental ailments to this as well. So getting your gut healthy is extremely important for not only your physical health, but your mental health as well. And of course, your sleep. Now, your main goal should be to keep these healthy. Now, there are a million, billion, trillion tips that could help you fix your gut, but let's keep it simple. Eat as naturally as possible. Now, when I say natural, I don't mean go to the store and find the package that says all natural on it, because that means nothing, first of all. Second of all, I mean eat the stuff that you would find on this earth. Don't eat the man-made, factory-processed, terrible things in our society. Now, another thing before I actually go into a couple tips that I have is to not worry about being perfect. No one's perfect. No one's going to avoid all bad foods all the time. Everyone's going to eat something every once in a while to splurge Everyone's going to be caught in a situation where they have to eat the stuff. But the main idea is your regular diet really shouldn't include these things. And when you do eat these things, you should kind of make some steps to reconcile what you've eaten. Now, the first recommendation I want to give you is to avoid pesticides, insecticides, and herbicides. So this is the stuff that's being sprayed on our fruits and vegetables that are killing insects, weeds, all these other things that really wipe out our gut bacteria. And they really just do a number on our stomach. So what does this mean? How do we avoid those? First, if possible, buy organic. These are the things that haven't been processed and haven't been sprayed. Second of all, if you can't buy organic for some reason, try to avoid GMO foods. Now, GMO foods is a hot topic right now, whether it's good, whether it's bad. A lot of different arguments are coming out for each side. But here's my argument for not eating GMOs. So a lot of the GMOs out there are herbicide resistant. So they change the genetic code of these fruits and vegetables, so they're resistant to these herbicides. What that means is they can spray them as much as they want. So to kill all the weeds around them, they spray these, and then all this is on our foods. So if a food wasn't resistant to this, they wouldn't be able to spray as much because it would kill it. But because it is now resistant, they can spray as much as they want. So try to avoid GMOs if you can. And then the last tip is if you can't buy organic, wash your fruits and veggies. Now, you can do this two ways. First of all, you can just use water, which isn't as effective, but if necessary, you can. Second of all, you can mix water with a little bit of white vinegar, and that's going to help take off these chemicals. So really, if possible, organic. If not, try to treat your foods with care, wash them. Really just make sure you're not ingesting a ton of these chemicals. So the second part of fixing your gut is to avoid antibiotics. So antibiotics wreak havoc on your gastrointestinal tract. Basically, they don't know the difference between good bacteria and bad bacteria, so they kill all of it. So what a lot of people find is that after taking these antibiotics that are killing these bacteria, they get sick with something else, their immune system is lowered, they feel weak and they don't have good energy, and it could be because they're ruining their sleep and they're really ruining their gut. So if you can, avoid antibiotics. And then finally, this one is also really important, and unfortunately not a lot of people know about it, is avoid anti-inflammatory drugs. So the NSAIDs out there, the Advil, the Aleve, all of those. Yes, they may do a good job at curing your hangover or getting rid of that headache, but they wreak havoc on your mucosal barrier in your small intestine. And by damaging this barrier, it allows foreign substances to pass through the intestinal walls. So basically, your body gets these foreign substances, they see them, they get into your actual body, and it starts to attack itself, which is something called inflammation. Now, inflammation in small doses is good. It means your body's fighting off these outside agents, and it's preventing these things from entering your body. But in the long term, if you're consistently having your body have to fight this off and you consistently have this long-term inflammation, that's when you're really going to see a ton of these terrible health issues. So those are the things that you want to avoid. You really want to make sure that you're treating your body right and you're giving it what it needs to have that healthy gut bacteria. Now, how do you restore the bacteria in your gut? First of all, no matter how many probiotics you take to replenish your gut, if you consistently have a bad diet and you continually kill these off, these probiotics aren't going to do anything. But what are probiotics? Basically, they are live bacteria that you ingest somehow. So whether it's capsule form, a drink like kombucha, something, you ingest it and it helps replenish that bacteria in your gut. So step one, fix your diet. Step two, you want to do these things, eat these foods that have this bacteria. Maybe take a probiotic as a supplement, and you really want to help regrow that bacteria in your gut. Now, I have done two things. I drink kombucha every once in a while. It's delicious. I love it. It's a great addition. And I have in the past taken something called Ultimate Flora Probiotic 50 Billion, which I've heard great things about. It helped me a lot when I was using it. It helped with my digestion, whatnot. And if you're interested, you can check that out in the show notes. I'll put a link to that. Another good supplement to help your gut flora and your sleep and your body in general is magnesium. Now, magnesium is known as the miracle mineral, and it's something that, unfortunately, a lot of Americans are deficient in. So, two options. First of all, you can go with the pill. Now, the pill isn't the best option because if you take more magnesium than your body can process, you're going to get diarrhea and you're going to have that stomach issue. But if you get topical magnesium, which is what you rub on your skin, it's like a lotion or a spray or however you want to get it, that's really going to help. So magnesium, first of all, improves your sleep. It optimizes your circulation and blood pressure. It relaxes tense muscles. It does a ton of awesome stuff. Now, again, this is a supplement, which means that it shouldn't be your main form. But if you're looking for a supplement of magnesium, I've heard that Ease Magnesium is very good. I'll put a link in the show notes. I'm pretty sure you can get 20% off with that. But yeah, if you're interested, you can check that out. Okay, that was the big one. I'm glad we got through that. Again, tip number 7 is to fix your gut. Make sure you're eating the right, healthy, natural foods. But now that that is over, let's move on to tip number 8. So tip number 8 is to time your exercise. Now, exercise is something called a hermetic stressor, which means it's a good stress. So you put stress on your body adapts to it, and it gets stronger. Now, exercise is obviously important for a ton of different reasons. One of them being overweight actually puts stress on your endocrine system. So your endocrine system is what produces hormones in your body. So it produces melatonin. And if you have stress on that system, you're really not going to produce enough to go into that deep sleep. So first of all, exercise is going to help you get better sleep in general. But we want to time your exercise. So there is a study done at Appalachian State, or Appalachian, however you want to pronounce it, where they took groups of people who exercised at 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m., and they measured their sleep quality. And what they found was that the people who worked out at 7 a.m. were in stage 3 sleep, so that deep reparative sleep, for up to 75% more time. Now, obviously, as an early riser, that gets me hyped, because working out in the morning is the best thing ever, and that is just another reason to love it. Another thing to note is if you're not lifting weights already, say you're a runner or a yogi or whatever type of exercise you do, if you're not lifting weights, you should start. You should include at least 2 days of weightlifting in your routine, because it helps your body start to produce these anabolic hormones that really help your body repair and restore itself while it's asleep. So exercise earlier in the morning. Get it done. Now, I think it's also important to note that exercising at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. really isn't going to be the best for your body based on the hormones that you're producing at that time. So maybe think twice about going that early. But try to get your exercise done in the morning. Try to get some weights in there, and you should notice some better sleep. So tip number 8 is to time your exercise. Moving on to tip number 9. Tip number 9 is to meditate. Now, meditation is something that I've recently picked up in my daily morning routine, and it has had amazing effects, not only on sleep, but just in my mood, in my mental clarity, in a ton of these different things. So if you're not into meditation or you've never tried it, you can start by downloading the application Headspace. They'll give you a free trial in there before the premium version to kind of guide you through that meditation. And for the people who know nothing about meditation, it's not just sitting down and doing those little ohms. It's focusing. It's concentrating on your breathing. It's being in the present moment. So there have been a ton of studies on the benefits of meditation. Reduces stress, reduces inflammation, regulates your hormones and endorphins. Really, overall, there are many, many benefits. One of my favorites being better sleep. The more you meditate, the more you kind of learn to be in the present and shut down those anxious thoughts about the past or the future. And again, that's going to help your body fall asleep faster if your mind can shut down quicker. So start to look into some meditation if you haven't already. Maybe include it in your morning routine. Maybe include it in your nighttime routine when you're not using your phone. Maybe do something like that. Moving on to tip number 10, we're going to talk about body work. Now, when I say body work, I specifically mean soft tissue work. So the National Institute of Health has actually advised that massage therapy can improve sleep. So for everyone who loves massages because they are the greatest thing ever, there's another excuse to go get one. But say you don't want to, say you don't like massages, say you don't want to spend money on massages, get something called a foam roller. So this is called the poor man's massage. And what this is it's a little tube that you basically put on the ground and you lay on and you roll out. You move around and it gets deep into your tissue and your muscle fascia, and it really just helps your muscles relax. Not only is rolling out good, but stretching is also going to help relax your body and get you ready for sleep. And a final tip is something called gut smashing, which is very interesting. I'm a big fan of. So 90% of your fibers in your vagus nerve are in your stomach. So these carry a bunch of info from your gut to your brain. And basically, massaging this part of your stomach can actually improve those fibers in that nerve. What this is going to do is it's going to stimulate the parasympathetic nervous system, and it's really going to give you better sleep. So how do you do this? Go grab a soccer ball, something the size of a soccer ball, something circular the size of a soccer ball. And basically all you're going to do is you're going to lay on it with your stomach. And you're going to stay relaxed. Don't tense up. Don't flex your abs. And just breathe. Take some deep breaths. Roll it around a little bit. You may feel like your kidney is going to pop, but I promise it's not. And after, you're going to feel a lot more relaxed, and you may even notice a much deeper sleep at night. So try that out. And if you have a good experience with it, let me know. So tip number 10 is body work. Tip number 11, the last tip of the day, is something also that is very interesting, and it is called grounding. Now, if you haven't heard of grounding before, basically all it means is going outside and standing on the ground barefoot. Now, I'm not talking about standing on plywood. I'm not talking about standing on your kitchen floor. I'm talking about standing out on the earth. So that means standing on soil, on grass, on sand, even brick or concrete. So even though these are man-made, they're also still part of the earth. So standing on brick, standing on concrete on the street, still is going to have an effect. Obviously not as beneficial as the others, but it still will benefit you in some way. Now, before you shut me off because you think this is just some hippie bullcrap, this is stuff that's backed by science. So basically, in our society today, there's a large range of electromagnetic radiation. Now, being grounded greatly reduces this radiation through the Earth's electrons. So this is studied by science. This has been shown. Now, I want to talk about a picture, which you should definitely go to the show notes and check out. Basically, they took a man and they took pictures of his blood. And the cells in his blood were all clumped up and binded together. They took him outside. They took him for like a 5-minute walk. And they took a picture again. And it is insane. Everything is just separated. Everything is good. And it's really just because he was barefoot out on that earth. Now, unfortunately, again, in today's society, we're always wearing shoes. There's not a lot of times where we're barefoot. You know, you only find yourself barefoot outside if you're in your backyard playing yard games, or if you're at the beach, but really most of the time you're wearing your shoes. So try to find some time where you can take your shoes off and go take a walk. You know, you may get some looks for walking around the block barefoot. If you're scared about that, do it anyway, or just go in your backyard and walk around a little bit. Go to the park, take your shoes off, go spend a day at the beach. Just get on that earth. Now, what are the actual benefits of grounding besides just unclumped blood? Improved immune function, better digestion, better sleep, better blood circulation, reduced inflammation, reduced stress and anxiety. The fact that being barefoot on the earth has all these amazing benefits is mind-blowing, first of all. But second, it's unfortunate because not a lot of us know about it. And the way that our culture is built, we really don't get that time on the earth. I think it's also cool to mention that if you've ever taken a nap on the beach, you probably noticed that you wake up and, you know, you feel like you had the best sleep of your life. Some of this obviously can be attributed to being in the sun or hearing the sound of the waves, but some of this is your body's just not used to being grounded for so long. So try it out, get out there on the earth, stand there for a couple minutes, walk around, do what you got to do. But with that being said, those were the 11 tips to get better sleep. Now, where do you go from here? Well, there's a couple things I want you to do. First of all, if you haven't downloaded our Better Sleep Blueprint, that will sum up pretty much everything that we talked about today. The studies and all that won't be there, but you can grab that for free on my site if you just want it as a guide to kind of remember what we talked about. So what you got to do is just go to the homepage, scroll down. There should be a button that says Learn More. Click that and you'll get those for free. Next, I'm going to challenge you to grab that list, or if you remember what we talked about today, if you were taking notes, pick and choose and plan. What are you going to implement into your life right now to start sleeping better? I'd recommend you implement the no electronics. I'd recommend you start to try to fix your gut if that's an area where there's a mess. I'd recommend to start meditating. But in reality, it's completely up to you. All I'm asking is that you at least take 3 of these things, and that's a challenge. Try them out, see if you feel better, see if you feel more rested in the morning, if you have an easier time falling asleep and staying asleep, just try them out. And again, if you have anything that you want to see from today's show, you can go to earlyrisersmovement.com/podcast/3, and you will find the show notes there with everything that we talked about. Again, if you ever want to reach out, Find me on Instagram at Early Risers Movement. Find me on our website. Find me wherever you can find me. But with that being said, thank you for listening. I hope you learned some awesome stuff. Can't wait till next time, and I will see you then. Keep killing it, everyone.